The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're diving into one of the, well, maybe the biggest questions there is, do we actually have free will? We're looking at Mark Balliger's book, simply titled Free Will.
It's a fascinating read because he offers this really robust, modern defense of freedom.
Right. And it tackles that fundamental tension, doesn't it? I mean, we feel free, profoundly so. Like when I chose this shirt this morning, I felt I made that choice.
Mm-hmm. But then you have the scientific picture, which seems to suggest everything, including our choices, is just determined, the result of prior causes, laws of physics, brain states, you know.
Exactly. And Balliger steps right into that gap. He looks at those moments of real agonizing, like deciding whether to move for a job or stay put, those moments where you weigh everything.
Yeah. And his big claim, the core of the book, really, is that this isn't some settled philosophical debate. And it's certainly not disproven by neuroscience, like some people claim.
He says it's actually an open empirical question, which is kind of radical.
It really is. He argues that genuine free will, what philosophers often call libertarian free will, or L-freedom for short, is conceptually possible, and it might actually be physically possible in our brains.
And that framing, moving it towards an empirical question, that's why this matters so much right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because if we do have this kind of freedom, or if we don't, the implications for, well, everything, moral responsibility, the justice system, personal accountability, they're just huge. It changes how we understand ourselves.
Okay, so let's get a sense of the person making this argument. Who is Mark Balliger?
Well, he's a distinguished professor of philosophy at California State University, Los Angeles. His main areas are philosophy of mind, metaphysics, and obviously free will. So he definitely has the philosophical chops, you know.
Right. He understands the centuries of debate. But what makes his take distinctive? Because lots of philosophers talk about free will.
I think it's his willingness to really engage seriously with the science. He doesn't just stay in the realm of abstract arguments. He digs into neuroscience. He looks at quantum physics.
So he's bridging that gap between philosophy and empirical science.
Exactly. And he does it in a way that's rigorous, but also pretty accessible. He's not just defending free will philosophically. He's actually trying to build a positive case for how it could work, grounded in scientific possibility.
Almost like proposing a testable hypothesis.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. He's saying, okay, neuroscience seems to challenge free will, but maybe we're looking at it wrong. Here's how genuine freedom might operate in the brain. Now let's see if we can find evidence for that.
Okay, that makes sense. So the book's main goal then is to kind of rescue genuine free will from the hard determinists and maybe some neuroscientists who think it's an illusion.
Precisely. And to do that, he first needs to be really clear about what this genuine free will, this L-freedom, actually requires. What does it take to be truly free in his view?
He lays out two key requirements, right?
Yes. The first one is the choice requirement. This is non-negotiable for L-freedom. It means that at the moment you make a decision, there have to be genuinely open alternatives. The outcome can't be, like, sealed by the past and the laws of nature.
So if you rewound the universe to that exact moment, things could have gone differently.
That's the idea. If it was always going to unfold just one way, then you weren't free in this strong sense.
Okay, that seems intuitive enough. What's the second requirement? This one sounds trickier.
It is. It's the control requirement. Because if the choice isn't determined, the immediate pushback is, well, isn't it just random then? Just chance.
Right, the luck objection.
Exactly. So the control requirement says you, the agent, have to be the author. You have to control which of the open possibilities becomes actual. Like, can't just be some random quantum event happening to your brain. It has to be your doing, something integrated with your reasons and deliberation.
Okay, so it has to be both undetermined and under your control. That's a high bar.
It is. And that immediately sets him against compatibilism, which is probably the most popular view among philosophers today. Compatibilists try to say free will and determinism can coexist.
Yeah, they sort of redefine free will, don't they? Like, you're free if you act on your desires, even if those desires were ultimately determined.
Right, and Balliger argues that's just not the kind of freedom we care about, especially when it comes to moral responsibility. If your deepest desires and choices were baked in from the Big Bang, can you really be held ultimately responsible? He says no. That requires L freedom.
Okay, so he sets this high bar. Now, how does he make the case? He uses this really interesting strategic move, focusing only on specific kinds of decisions.
Yes, this is crucial. He zeroes in on what he calls torn decisions.
What exactly is a torn decision? It sounds like those moments I mentioned earlier, like the job offer dilemma.
That's precisely it. A torn decision is when you're consciously deliberating and you have strong, compelling reasons pulling you towards option A and equally strong, compelling reasons pulling you towards option B. You're genuinely stuck weighing them up. Your brain is sort of in balance.
Okay, so not deciding what socks to wear or whether to scratch an itch.
Exactly. He argues that L-freedom, if it exists, only needs to show up in these high-stakes, deliberative, torn moments. Forget the spontaneous stuff for now.
And why is that focus so important?
Because it immediately dodges a lot of the standard objections, especially the scientific ones like the Libet experiments we'll get to. By narrowing the scope, he clears a path to make his positive case.
Clever. Okay, so before the positive case, he still needs to tackle the big philosophical and scientific challenges head on. First, the challenge from determinism itself.
Right. The assumption that everything is determined by prior causes. Balaguer challenges this by pointing to, well, 20th and 21st century physics.
Quantum mechanics.
Yep. Quantum indeterminacy. The idea that at the subatomic level, events aren't strictly determined, there's genuine randomness or chance involved.
So his point is that universal determinism isn't a scientific certainty anymore.
Exactly. It's more like a philosophical assumption that science, particularly quantum physics, doesn't necessarily support. So the door is open, physically speaking, for indeterminism to play a role, even potentially in the brain.
Okay, so determinism isn't a given. But then there's the big scientific challenge, the claim that neuroscience has shown conscious will is just an illusion.
Ah, yes, the famous Benjamin Libet experiments from the 80s. These are constantly brought up.
Remind us briefly what Libet found.
Libet had subjects watch a clock and decide spontaneously when to flex their wrist. He measured their brain activity and found a specific signal, the readiness potential, building up in the brain before the subjects reported being consciously aware of their intention to move.
Which led many to conclude
that the unconscious brain makes the decision and our conscious feeling of deciding comes later. Like, consciousness is just watching the show, not directing it. Free will debunked, right?
But Balaguer says, not so fast. How does he dismantle this, using his focus on torn decisions?
He argues the Libet experiments are basically irrelevant to L-freedom. Why? First, look at the task. Spontaneously deciding when to flick your wrist. Is that a torn decision?
No, not at all. It's trivial, unconscious, not deliberative.
Exactly. There's no conscious weighing of reasons. Balaguer argues these kinds of spontaneous urges are likely handled by subconscious brain processes. The experiment tells us nothing about what happens when you're agonizing over two job offers.
So Libet was measuring the wrong kind of decision if we're interested in L-freedom.
That's the core critique. Plus, he adds, the readiness potential itself might not even be the decision. It could just be, like, a preparatory signal or a rising urge that consciousness could still veto or shape, especially in a complex choice.
Okay, so the Libet results are perfectly comparable with L-freedom existing during torn decisions.
That's Balaguer's conclusion. Libet doesn't touch the kind of decisions that matter for genuine free will.
Right. So he's cleared away the determinism assumption and the main neuroscience objection. Now he needs to build his positive case. How could L-freedom actually work in the brain during one of these torn decisions?
Okay, so picture it. You're facing that tough choice, job A versus job B. Your brain is buzzing with the pros and cons for each. You're in that state of neural equipoise Balaguer talks about.
Okay, I'm there. What happens next, according to his model?
Step one, reasons are causes. Your conscious deliberation, thinking about salary, location, family, impact. These aren't just abstract thoughts. They are physical neural processes. They actively cause your brain to enter this highly balanced, almost unstable state where the neural pathways for A and B are equally weighted. You, through your reasoning, brought the brain to this critical point.
So my deliberation literally shapes the brain state. I'm setting the stage.
You got it. Step two, the indeterminate tipping point.
Yeah.
Because the system is so perfectly balanced, it becomes incredibly sensitive. Balaguer proposes that at this precise moment of equipoise, the final event that pushes the decision over the edge towards A or B is an indeterministic physical event.
Yeah. Here comes the quantum stuff again.
Potentially, yeah. It could be rooted in quantum fluctuations at the neuronal level that get amplified, just enough to break the tie in this highly sensitive state. The key is, it's not predetermined which way it goes.
Okay, but wait. There's that massive objection again. If the final push is a random indeterministic event, isn't that just luck? How is that my choice? How is that control? It sounds like the randomness objection is back with a vengeance.
Right, and this is where Balaguer's model gets really elegant in response to the luck objection. He argues it's not just luck happening to you, because this indeterministic event only occurs within and is only effective because of the context that you created through your conscious, reason-based deliberation.
So it's like, I deliberated intensely, bringing the scales to a perfect balance. The indeterministic nudge just tips the perfectly balanced scales I carefully set up.
Exactly. Think of it like this. You did all the work. You wrestled with the reasons. You brought yourself to this point of being genuinely torn. The indeterminacy only breaks the tie at the very end, within a process entirely authored and driven by your deliberation, values, and character.
So the outcome wasn't predetermined. Choice requirement met. But it also wasn't just random chaos, because it flowed directly from my own reasoning process. Control requirement met.
That's the core idea. The indeterminacy is embedded within an agent-controlled process. You authored the conditions under which the choice occurred, even if the final micro-event wasn't predictable. It's your deliberation that makes the indeterministic event decisive.
Okay, that is a subtle but powerful way to think about reconciling indeterminism and control. It sidesteps the standard luck objection.
It's his central move to make L freedom plausible.
All right, let's zoom out then. Having gone through the arguments and the model, what are the really big key themes or messages we should take away from Balaguer's book?
Well, theme one has got to be the primacy of torn decisions. This distinction is just fundamental to his whole project. Focusing on these high-stakes, deliberative moments changes everything. It lets us sidestep so many old problems.
Right. Stop worrying about reflexes or trivial choices and focus where freedom might actually matter. And the second big theme seems to be that paradigm shift you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Free will as an empirical, not just conceptual, question. He's essentially saying, philosophers, stop arguing in circles. Neuroscientists, stop using simplistic experiments. He gives a concrete target. Look for indeterminacy, specifically at the neural tipping points during moments of conscious, reasoned deliberation when someone is genuinely torn.
He turns it into a research program.
Exactly. A specific testable hypothesis about brain function.
Okay, theme three then must be his answer to that age-old dilemma.
Reconciling indeterminism with control. His model of embedding indeterminacy within the agent's reason-driven deliberation process is his proposed solution to the luck objection. The choice is undetermined, but it's still authored.
And the final theme ties it all back to why we should even care about this beyond the intellectual puzzle.
Yeah, the importance of ultimate responsibility. Balaguer argues pretty forcefully that only L-freedom, this robust, genuine free will, can actually ground our practices of praise and blame, reward and punishment, and our sense of moral accountability. Without it, he thinks, those concepts lose their foundation.
It underpins our whole moral framework.
In his view, yes. It gives meaning and value to our choices in a way that compatibilist or determined views arguably can't.
The book is definitely packed with ideas that make you think. Are there any particular lines or concepts that really stand out as capturing his core message?
Oh, definitely. He has some very quotable ways of putting things. One that emphasizes the stakes is something like, "The question of whether we have free will is not merely an abstract philosophical puzzle. It strikes at the heart of what it means to be human."
Yeah, that puts it plainly. It's not just an academic game.
Right. And another one validates our own gut feeling. Our experience of deliberation and choice provides prima facie evidence for free will that shouldn't be dismissed without compelling reasons.
So trust your experience unless there's really strong proof against it. Don't let weak arguments overturn something so fundamental.
Exactly. And he doesn't shy away from the consequences of the alternative view, saying something like, "If hard determinism is true, then no one deserves anything. Neither praise nor blame, neither reward nor punishment."
Wow. That really makes you confront what's lost if determinism wins out.
It does. And finally, kind of summing up his methodological stance, he argues, "The burden of proof lies with those who would convince us that one of our most fundamental experiences is systematically delusory."
Basically saying the default position should be freedom, given our experience. The deniers need extraordinary evidence. And he argues things like the Libet studies just don't cut it.
Precisely. It's a call for intellectual humility from the deterministic side.
Okay, so bringing this down to earth a bit. How might Balaguer's ideas apply in our actual lives? What are the real-world applications?
Well, on a personal level, I think it can be quite empowering. If you believe, as Balaguer argues, is plausible, that your conscious deliberation in those really tough, torn moments actually matters, that it can genuinely shape an undetermined future.
Yeah.
That fights back against fatalism, right?
Yeah, it makes you feel like your efforts in thinking things through aren't just epiphenomenal, not just window dressing on a determined process. It could genuinely motivate you to engage more deeply in those choices.
Absolutely. And then thinking bigger, societally. If L freedom is real, it provides a much stronger philosophical grounding for our systems of ethics and law. It supports holding individuals genuinely responsible for their actions, particularly those resulting from deliberation.
But maybe it also suggests focusing on enhancing people's capacity for that kind of responsible deliberation, like in rehabilitation.
That seems like a natural extension, yeah.
Yeah.
It supports accountability, but maybe also emphasizes the importance of developing the capacity for reasoned choice.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing, the book itself is a great lesson in critical thinking about science.
How so?
By showing how the Libet experiments, for example, were overinterpreted. It teaches you to really look at the methods of a study and ask, does this experiment actually test what they claim it tests? Does the data really support this massive conclusion about free will being an illusion? It encourages a healthy skepticism towards sweeping scientific claims based on limited data.
Good point. Don't just accept the headline conclusion. Look under the hood.
Exactly.
Okay, as we wrap up our deep dive into Balaguer's free will, what's your main personal takeaway? What surprised you or what did you find most valuable?
For me, the most valuable thing was seeing how intellectually alive the case for libertarian free will still is. You know, you often hear it dismissed as philosophically naive or scientifically impossible. Balaguer shows compellingly that it's neither. The debate is wide open, and believing in our own agency is actually a very respectable, rational position. That was refreshing.
Yeah, I agree with that. What I think I loved most was that clear shift he makes, taking this ancient, seemingly intractable philosophical knot and transforming it into, like you said, a vibrant scientific frontier. He gives neuroscience a clear target. Look here, during these kinds of decisions for this kind of neural activity, it makes the problem feel potentially solvable, which is exciting.
It really does. It offers a path forward.
So maybe the final thought for you listening is this. The next time you find yourself truly torn between two paths, agonizing over the reasons, Balaguer's work suggests that conscious struggle isn't futile. It might just be the very process through which your genuine freedom is being exercised, shaping a future that wasn't written in stone.
A powerful thought to carry into those difficult moments.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.